Happy Friday, everybody. Congratulations on making it through another work week. It's time to kick off the weekend by talking some Disney, and today we're going to talk about best practices to get the most out of the nighttime events this summer down at Walt Disney World. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. The Magic for Less is a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best when it comes to booking travel for their guests. And that's right, the time has come. 2018 Walt Disney World vacation packages are now available. So if you've been dying to plan that vacation for 2018, right now is the time to drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free no obligation quote. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. And you and I are going to be planning that next vacation for 2018. And for the next month, there's increased booking bonuses. That's right. You're going to get more for booking that trip right away. Plus, you get the best availability, the best pricing, and more. So check them out today. Drop by themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at AmeriPrizeAdvisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1188 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. I got a big number for you guys that are sailing with us on the Be Our Guest Podcast cruise. 2 weeks from tomorrow. That's right. Be there or be square. Don't literally miss the boat. 15 days. We're sailing on the Disney Fantasy to the Western Caribbean. We are going to have so much fun. I cannot wait. But man, I have a ton of stuff to do between here and there. I can't even think about that right now. We got to get all these podcasts recorded so you have stuff to listen to while we're cruising around, you know, off the coast of Cuba and down by Jamaica, Grand Cayman, all those places. Hopefully we don't go to Cuba. I don't think we're supposed to. Hopefully we don't end up there. Especially nowadays, you might not get out. But anyway, we're going to be having a great time, but lots to be done between here and there. But I could not be more excited to see all of our friends, both at Walt Disney World and on the Disney Cruise Line. But today, we are going to have a show to help you plan a better vacation when you're headed down, especially this summer. But this kind of carries throughout the rest of the year. We just want you to have a great trip. We're going to discuss some things to think about when it comes to the nighttime shows at Walt Disney World. So joining me to do just that, she is a nighttime specialist because she has never seen a sunrise in the last 25 years. We have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Ricky, I should take that back. You get out there and cheer for the races, and the sun comes up while you're out there. I'm sorry for that. I shouldn't have said that, especially after you said you loved us last week, Wednesday.
You're such a jerk.
See, there we go. Last show, she loved us. Now I'm a jerk. Things are right. Things are balanced in the universe.
That's it. Let's just be honest. It's the total brother-sister thing.
Totally, like, yeah. You love me all the time.
I do love Pam all the time, but you, Mike. It's just kind of the brother-sister thing. I love you 1 week, I hate you the next. So, or I guess in this case, I love you one day and I hate you the next. So,
so stay tuned. Monday could be interesting. It's scary that we do three shows a week. Well, you're not usually there on Monday, so we'll have to hold that off for next Wednesday.
Right, so it makes life a little bit easier for you. Yeah.
Those Monday shows are so pleasant. I'm just kidding. All right, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester, who I'm sure has snugly tucked away all the fish extender gifts into the box ready to be shipped by now, I'm sure. Right, Pam?
So when you told me we had 2 weeks until we sailed, I wanted to vomit. I'm just because I have so much that I need to get done between now and then. I don't know how it's going to happen. I need a staff. I'm just saying. I need people to come in and do a whole bunch of stuff that I have that needs done. But anyways, no, it'll all get done like it does before every other one. It just seems like you plan for, you know, like more than a year in advance and then bam, it's there.
Yeah. Oh.
You guys are okay. Killing me though, because you just reminded me, you know, don't forget your fish extender, like actual hanger that hangs outside of your door. And I was joking because I saw on a touring plans post last week that now that you can, you got to pre-purchase this. It gets delivered to your stateroom, but there's like a navigator's bundle or something. I forget what it's exactly called, but it comes with a bunch of little trinket and stuff, but it comes with actually a fish extender thing you can hang outside your door, which is brilliant because somebody always forgets them. So I'm like, oh, well, I just got to grab mine. And now mine's not hanging where it's supposed to be. So mine could be anywhere in this house. So I got 15 days to find ours. So now I'm stressed about
maybe
one more
thing. Your wife already packed it for you.
Yeah, I don't think so. No,
there you go.
No, what it is, it's in the stuff from the last cruise. And I got to find that bag. Because what I do, I bring, you know how you always get those Castaway key bag or Castaway Club bags? So I've got a few of those. Like, they're just got random stuff in them. Navigators, like Lay's, grass skirts. You know, I got to find the one from the last cruise, and it's probably in there. I'm hoping. No, it wouldn't be in the last one, because we went last summer. We didn't do a fish extender exchange. It's in two ago. I'll find it. I'll keep you up to date, guys. I know you could really care less about where my fish extender is. Anyway, so today we're going to talk about best things, best practices for seeing the nighttime events, things like Rivers of Light, Fantasmic Illuminations, and Happily Ever After, the new show at the Magic Kingdom. So, Pam, this show is your idea, so kind of what are we thinking about? What do we need to consider? Because things have kind of changed, especially with Happily Ever After. Let's start there, because it's not the same kind of show as Wishes, and you got to kind of rethink your strategy, right?
You do. And I think that's the thing. That's what made me think about this show in particular is, as agents, one of the things that we get asked about a lot are all the nighttime shows and how to fit them in and what to do and what to skip and everything. So there's just a lot to see and do. And you're right, here now with At the Magic Kingdom, you have Happily Ever After. And there's also a projection show at the Magic Kingdom called Once Upon a Time. So these are the two shows that you're going to want to take into consideration when thinking about planning your Magic Kingdom day. And you're really going to want to be in a good position for these shows, probably 45 minutes in advance of the show start. At least a half an hour, 20 minutes in advance. And if you're there at that point, you may not get your prime spot because you know how the central part of the Magic Kingdom gets. But that's something that you want to think about, especially with Happily Ever After. There is so much of that show that takes place there on the castle. It is not just fireworks, it's projection and fireworks, and it's told together. They really mesh together and complement each other. And it goes on to tell this wonderful story. And prior to the release of Happily Ever After, Disney had promised this was going to be one of the most spectacular nighttime shows ever at the Magic Kingdom. And I thought, well, you know, that's going to be
all
pretty
hyping, right? Yeah.
That's going to be a little tough to, like, what are we, you know, we're not all going to compare and stuff like that. And as someone who really, really enjoyed Wishes, and particularly the story that Wishes kind of told and the part of that Disney magic that it touched upon, I was like, yeah, okay, I'll see it, you know, and then I'll see how spectacular this is. Well, let me tell you, I was blown away by Happily Ever After. Not just the technology part of it, because that is very, very cool. And we've been seeing this for quite a while with all the projection shows that Disney is doing, but really with the fact that I feel like an emotional connection with it. There are parts of it that really, I think, almost pay homage to some of the past fireworks shows. There's little, you know, songs that they included that made me think of some of the past shows they used to have, even Fantasy in the Sky, a little bit about that. We saw so many fantastic movies represented in this show. I think that was awesome. We also saw, I think, I think there's just something that people really, you know, there's so many movies represented in the show that people really connect with that. And I will say, the first night that I saw it, here's kind of how it just, you know, it went for me. We got to the Magic Kingdom. We staked out a spot way in advance. We were standing for a long time, and it was at the end of a long day. And I was kind of crabby about the whole thing because I knew I was going to, we were going to see it later in the week. I wasn't planning on seeing it that day and whatnot. I was tired, whatever. Then the sky opens up, okay, and it pours on us. The show's delayed probably 25 minutes. Add a little more crabbiness to the whole thing, right? Because you know how it is. I've just been, we've been on our feet for so long. So finally the show starts. And one of, you know, very close to the beginning, there is the song from Moana that is playing. And there are, there's a group of like three or four little girls behind us. Well, let me tell you, these girls belted out every word to the song. They were acting it out. They were doing hand gestures. They did it with attitude. They were, it was just so sweet. And it really, you know, brought me right back to where I was, you know, and it made me get past my little first world problems kind of thing. But it was just really, and that happened throughout the show, different groups of people. There were little girls behind us. There was a group of maybe young adults next to us. I mean, every one of these little sections, somebody else was like singing the song and dancing along with it. And it was really just a good time. So I love this show. You have to, for me, this is a must do. And I would see it for the first time, at least the first time, in front of the castle with great spots. So,
and you know what? Here's what I think. Because again, I'm glad that I haven't seen it yet. You know, I'll see it here in the next couple of weeks. I'm super excited. I wasn't as excited until these reviews started rolling in. And not, you know, you're not the only one saying this. So many people have said this. And I want to get Ricky's take on this here in just a second. But I think one of the things, not having seen the show yet, that Disney must have thought about is exactly that example you just shared with us, Pam, that, you know, five-year-old girls can instantly have a connection with something that is a movie that maybe because they loved it, they got to see at the theater three times with their family, and then they got the Blu-ray and watched it three times a day at their house. You know, things, I know that they kind of did that with Frozen, you know, kind of in the show before Wishes there for a while, but I think that if you throw in enough stuff, you know, I can have a Toy Story connection because that's my movie. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, somebody that's older may have some kind of, you know, oh, someday my prince will come moment. And that's like, oh, I'm five again, you know, back in 1945 or whatever. There's so many layers to it and so many small, when you have small nuggets, there may be, it's like a smorgasbord, you know, everybody's got their favorites and things that maybe they're not super hot on, but they will have something that's like, oh, that's their guy. You know, like when I see Buzz Lightyear, that's my character. Or Woody, yeah. You know, Toy Story. So, Ricky, you've seen it. So I'm the only one that hasn't. So what do you think? I mean, with Happily Ever After, I mean, Pam kind of said that location is important and make sure that you're really thinking about that, especially that first time you see the show.
Absolutely. I would 100% say the first time you see it, location is important. The reason is, like she said, the projections, you have to see them the first time. I mean, you really do to be able to truly appreciate the show. You have to see the projections the first time and see how they put the story together. With all that being said, I mean, you know, there are a lot of fireworks in the show. So if you aren't on Main Street, I mean, you're not going to feel like something's missing. But it's just the projections add so much more to the show that I really think you're going to want to see it at least the first time the way it's supposed to be, you know, with the actual projections and everything like that.
Awesome. Okay, let's talk dessert parties here for just a second, because I was doing one of our, and they, you know, there's a lot of those. There's always, you know, Disney's really good lately, especially over the last couple of years, of offering premium experiences for those that want to plus a certain, you know, regular experience, which is fine because you don't have to do that. If you stake out your spot, you're going to be fine. You're not going to have dessert, but you can go, you know, like when I see the Star Wars fireworks, I go over to the 50s Primetime Cafe and get me a peanut butter and jelly shake. And it's like my personal dessert party. I don't care. I got a good spot. I got a peanut butter and jelly shake in my hand. Life's good. Whatever. I don't have to buy a party. But, you know, and I send my kids to get them usually, so I don't have to go over there. But anyway, so what I heard, we did a chat on Monday on our Be Live channel on our Facebook page, and I was asking for some good advice, you know, what people think of Happily Ever After and what things they've learned in the last month or so. And one of the suggestions I got, Pam, was that when it comes to booking the dessert party, they said, because there's like two tiers or two locations, that you want to go with a garden view because it gives you a lot better spot than the Tomorrowland Terrace area. And it kind of makes sense to me because I've sat in the Tomorrowland Terrace area and I can see that there's a semi-obstructed view of the whole castle itself. So would you agree with that? Maybe think about one over the other when it comes to those dessert parties for Happily Ever After?
Yeah, I do agree with that. And one of the reasons why is that thing that we talked about before, that you're going to want to see the castle. The castle, like the fireworks, are part of the nighttime show. The castle is really part of the show. Another character, if you will, another huge part of the show. So make sure that you can see it. Now, like Ricky mentioned, there are fireworks in the show. So even if you're not able to see the castle, you'll still be able to enjoy it, especially if you can hear the music, and they do pipe the music in. And if seats are a reason why you're booking that dessert party, again, I think that the seating there at Tomorrowland Terrace is going to be something else that you want to consider too. But yeah, absolutely. I think that that's, you know, there's something to be said.
Okay. So one last thing on Happily Ever After, then I'll kind of shift gears over to Animal Kingdom, talk Rivers of Light for a little bit. I've heard this floated as a possibility as to why we don't have a nighttime parade currently at the Magic Kingdom. And I think it's not true, but I think it might be convenient for Disney for this to float around. That since this is such a projection heavy show, that it's you know, pretty important to the show. You want to see the castle, that they don't want to have a parade because a parade keeps people out of the hub areas and you got to keep a thoroughfare open for the parade and then the fireworks shows closely after. Where for a projection show, you need people kind of filling in that entire area. So, Ricky, do you give any credence to this? Is that why there's not a nighttime parade, or is that just a convenient excuse for what we have right now?
It's really hard to say. It could be partially responsible for it. I guess it kind of depends on if Paint the Night gets introduced here or whatever. You know, obviously the rumors have been Paint the Night, but, you know, I don't know if we're actually going to get that or not. But I'm sure if we get Paint the Night, we will know by D23, because that's usually when Disney likes to announce these kind of big things like that. So, I could see what you're saying, that it could be the cause for the no parade for a while. Or it could just be a nice excuse. I really don't know what their reasoning is behind that, to be perfectly honest. I mean, they didn't announce the fireworks until, you know, much later after they'd already gotten rid of the parade. So, obviously they knew the fireworks weren't works, but I don't know.
That's true.
I really don't.
And the thing is, you know, I had this conversation with my family because, again, they're more casual when it comes to keeping up with the Disney news. And they hadn't put two and two together that there's not a nighttime parade and a fireworks, because every year that we've gone down for the last 10 plus years, we always close out the night at the Magic Kingdom with either Spectro or a Main Street Electrical Parade and a fireworks show. Then we, you know, head back and that's a night. So Pam, what do you think about that? I mean, because it does kind of feel to me, and especially I would think for casuals, you know, casual fans, that there's something missing. Like, I need a nighttime parade at the Magic Kingdom. I don't want to sound spoiled, but that was just special to me. You know, that was a way to close out the night, almost as much as a fireworks show.
I get that. I think that, you know, especially in the summertime, at different points in time, that hub begins to feel very, very crowded and about 20 degrees warmer than the rest of the park. This, like, all breezes cease to exist in that area of the Magic Kingdom. I wonder if that was something that they were thinking about. I also just wonder if it's, you know, they're testing to see what guests really think about that. Like, if you have Once Upon a Time and then Happily Ever After, or vice versa, depending on however Disney's doing with that, is that going to be, you know, are guests going to be happy with that? Do they need the parade? And I think that's something that Disney does very well. They're always, always, always tweaking and seeing and looking to see how things are going to be. So, you know, that's Disney for you, basically. So anyways, who knows? Hopefully we'll see. We'll get some answers here soon.
And I'd love to kind of poll everybody. So we'll put something up on the Facebook page here for the weekend. Just let us know, like, do you feel the Magic Kingdom needs a nighttime parade? You know, like, is it missing something? Or is a projection show, fireworks and that kind of stuff, is that enough? Maybe times have changed, you know? Maybe parades aren't as, you know, the circus is gone now, you know? So maybe parades are on their way out. I don't know. So it could be just me. Okay, anyway, let's go over Rivers of Light over at Animal Kingdom. Ricky, what are some things to think about when making the most of your evening when it includes Rivers of Light? What would you say?
So it really kind of depends. If you absolutely positively have to see Rivers of Light, then there are two options. You can make a fast pass, or you can do the Rivers of Light dining package. If you don't want to waste, I use waste in quotes, if you don't want to waste your fast pass on a nighttime show, because like we said, I'm big on the, you know, rolling fast pass thing. So if you don't want to, you know, if you keep your fast pass for that, then you're not going to be able to make any other fast passes for anything else in the park that night. So if you don't want to do that, I would very much suggest the package, the dining package with this. You know, we just did it at Tiffin's, and I mean, the way they had it set up for us, I mean, I came out of there the winner, because I had, you know, a very expensive appetizer, a very, very expensive meal, and then a very expensive dessert. So, plus I had a coffee. So I definitely came out there ahead on that one. But you got to play the math to, you know, get kind of the most expensive stuff. But I mean, and then I got to see Rivers of Light. That was just like a bonus. So, you know, I had a great meal and I got to see Rivers of Light as the bonus. So I think the same thing could be said maybe for the Tusker House dining package. It's maybe not, you're not going to come out ahead with that, but, you know, at least you still know that you've got a spot to see the show. You know, if you're just kind of like, eh, I could see Rivers of Light, you know, whatever, it's not a big deal, then maybe you want to consider just, you know, standby. If you do standby, I would say, don't, you know, go to the second show if you can, if they have a second show. If not, then I would say get there probably at least, I would say 45 minutes, depending on the season, I would say about 45 minutes ahead of time. So... yeah.
And they finally kind of moved the needle on the Rivers of Light dining packages earlier this week. They opened them up through October because they were kind of stuck at the end of September.
There you go.
So if you're going in October, you can book those now. And it looks like it's exactly the same schedule as September was. You know, of course, that can change at any time. But Pam, walk us through what a dining package, either for Fantasmic or Rivers of Light, same idea. It's even kind of like the same thing for Candlelight Processional when it comes to Christmas at Epcot. You know, I think a lot of people just haven't done this yet, but it's becoming more popular to make this happen because it's becoming more advantageous. You're going to eat anyway. And so you may as well kind of make the whole night, because I think a lot of folks think you have to have like dinner right before the show. You know, like it's okay, we're eating dinner, then they're walking us straight to a show that starts 15 minutes later. So walk people through that process. What is it like to do? What's it mean to do a dining package?
So basically, the dining packages offer guests an opportunity to purchase a meal at one of the restaurants located in the park and then also have reserved seating for that particular show. And the great thing about this is if there happens to be a buffet or all you care to eat type restaurant, that the package itself really doesn't cost much more than what it costs to dine there regularly. So that's something to really consider. I mean, why not do that? You essentially, especially with the Animal Kingdom and Rivers of Lights, then you don't have to use one of your fast passes to see the show. You'll go and eat at Tusker House and then also have reserved seating for the show. that for standard restaurants that aren't buffet or all you can eat, there is a set price, and then you get an appetizer, entree, dessert, and a non-alcoholic drink. So again, that you can, like Ricky said, really make out on that package depending on what you eat. And again, then you'll have reserved seatings for that show. So that's something that you might want to consider. The great news is that for a lot of these things, you don't have to do like dinner, as Mike said, like, you know, an hour and a half before the show. Oftentimes they have dinner, they have lunch, and sometimes even breakfast available. So you can make a Rivers of Light dining package for breakfast at Husker House or something like that. So consider that when you're going to be attending one of these shows and you want to have that reserved seating. Look at the dinner packages. Some may cost a little more, especially if you weren't looking at buying an entree, an appetizer, dessert at one of the sit-down restaurants, but you will get that reserved seating, and that's worth something, and your time is worth something. I think it's so funny, but people like to analyze every little bit about what their vacation costs, but they so frequently ignore the time factor. And time is money when you're on vacation. If you're waiting in line, if you're waiting to do something, or, you know, you have to consider that time factor. So put that in the mix too. Don't ignore it.
So true. So true. Time's money on a vacation. I hate to say it, but it is. I mean, you know, you have you think about it. You know, you could break your vacation down. You don't want to do this because, you know, you're going down there to have a great vacation. You don't want to turn everything into X's and O's. But you could say, you know, if you're going to be there for a week, that's this many hours, you know, and you could break it down to how much, you know, your total cost was divided by how many hours you're going to be there. Okay, this is how much it is now. Well, if you waste a bunch of those hours doing stuff, you know, standing where you don't need to wait, and, you know, you would see it quickly if you really broke it down. But I don't want people to do that. You know, I just want you to enjoy the trip that you're going on. Because, you know, it's everything doesn't have to be quantifiable. Everything nowadays, you know, we quantify our sleep. We kind of quantify our steps. We quantify, you know, our calories. You know what? Everything doesn't have to boil down to numbers. It's about memories, people. It's about having fun, which you guys know because that's why you're listening to the show. So let me ask Ricky.
Yeah, but my time on vacation is more valuable, I will just say.
Well, because it's so precious, though. You don't get enough. I mean, honestly. So that's how I feel, too. And you know what? If I want to sit on a park bench for an hour, that is not wasted time. That's called getting my sanity back. Is what that is for me.
Totally agree.
So if I'm sitting on a bench, don't think I'm wasting time, man. That is probably the best part of my vacation. I'm loving it. Anyway, so Ricky, when it comes to Rivers of Light itself, is there any things you need to know as far as like sitting in a certain place or anything like that? Because, you know, I saw it just that short preview, that very, very first time. Location didn't seem to matter. Of course, you probably want to be in the center if you can, but, you know, any tips for actually seeing the show itself?
Yeah, I say, you know, try to sit more towards the center if you can. Obviously, if you don't have a fast pass, the earlier you get there, the better chance you will have of sitting more towards the center. And, you know, I don't think it really matters whether you're seated close up or far away. I think that the stadium is intimate enough that there's not really too terribly much of a bad view in the whole place. So, you know, I think I haven't been all the way on the side yet. So like, I'm not entirely sure how the view is from there, but, you know, I think that it's really more or less kind of an intimate setting. So I don't think it makes too terribly much of a difference here. So
good deal. Yeah. All right, well, let's do this. Let's hop over to the studios now. We'll save Illuminations for last. I think that's the total easiest one to deal with when it comes to nighttime shows. But here's the quandary I want to talk about at the studios. And we got an email about this a couple of weeks ago, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, about a listener wanting to see the Star Wars fireworks, and they wanted to see Fantasmic. You know, and they had only a couple of days down at Walt Disney World. They're only going to be at the studios one time. So I think we came up to the conclusion that that's really not possible to do in the same night, because Fantasmic is a time investment, and it's way out. You think it's right there by the Beauty and the Beast stage. But it's not. I mean, that's like where you go in. And I'm not kidding. I feel like you walk to the Swan and the Dolphin somehow, but you don't see them. But like, you feel like you're walking that far. And then you get to the stadium, and the stadium holds a lot of people. So when the show's over, it takes a long time to unload the stadium, depending on where you are in the stadium. Ricky, am I right? Did we decide? I mean, the way the schedules were working when we were looking at them at that time, and I haven't looked at them since, I don't think you could make both unless there were two Fantasmics. And there weren't two Fantasmics at that time.
No, I really think we decided that you can't make both. It is so very far from Fantasmic to the fireworks that, you know, I don't think you can make both.
Yeah, I think it's tough because the thing is that we came to the conclusion that the whole time you're in Fantasmic, you're gonna be like, oh man, I gotta hurry and get to see Star Wars, and you're really not enjoying that show. So Pam, what do you say to folks that really want to see Star Wars, really want to see Fantasmic, and of course I think the ideal answer is to go on two separate nights. I mean, that's pretty common sense. But that's, I mean, is that the only answer? It might be, unless there's two Fantasmics that night.
No, I mean, it's not the only answer. I think one of the things that you can do is to just, you know, see Fantasmic if it's showing before the Star Wars fireworks, which is what happens a lot of times, and you'll be able to go come out of the theater and catch some of the Star Wars fireworks. I mean, I know it's not the same as seeing it all, and now there's the new show before the Star Wars fireworks, the movie magic projection show that's on the Grauman's Chinese Theater. So, I mean, I think it's going to be really challenging to do that. It really is. And ideally, you are going to want to come for two nights. You just are. So,
do you think that's intentional by Disney? I mean, obviously, it probably is because they want you to come back as many times as possible. But the thing is, it's kind of ironic because at best, a couple of years ago, you had Fantasmic, you know, and there was rumor that Fantasmic was going away. And now you got Fantasmic Star Wars. And like you said, now in the last month, they plussed it with that movie clip show, projection show on the Great Movie Ride. So it's really a destination for, you know, closing out your night. And not to mention, they have the Star Wars dessert party there. I mean, this might be the place to go that has the most going on at night. And who would have thought that right now? Because everybody's dogging on that park. But I mean, Fantasmic is still, you know, it's a long in the tooth show, but it's still a very solid show. I think everybody should definitely see it. But Star Wars is incredible.
I know. And I think that probably is one of the reasons. I mean, so many people are like, why would you go to Hollywood Studios? There's nothing there. And I always think, golly, there's lots of stuff there that I want to do. I mean, especially as a Star Wars lover. So I'm sure that played into part of it. I mean, you know, and again, I think this is another great argument for the park hoppers, which is something that the three of us really advocate a lot because we couldn't do it without it.
No.
We would be like, you know, it would be a real disability for us not to have the park hopper, and the fact that it's really challenging to see and do all the things you want to do without them. So
mm-hmm. I agree. It's that level of flexibility that gives you the option, you know, even if you don't use it one night, like, oh, but I could have, you know, you don't want to buy it and not use it, but it opens up so many more doors. So Ricky, anything else to think about when it comes to, obviously we've talked about it. You want to be up front for, especially now that movie clip show that's on the movie ride. You want to be up close to see all the projections. We always say there's two pillars right there as you're looking at the Great Movie Ride.
Yes.
Stand up about even with those in the middle, if you can, or in front of those. They've removed that stage though recently, haven't they? That helps.
Well,
right. Is it coming back?
So if you believe the rumor mill, they removed the stage, and then they were gonna do like stages that like were like rolling stages, you know, that could be rolled out and rolled in, and I don't think they worked. So now they're building the stage again. So
you know what they were doing? They were using the old High School Musical floats. Remember that? Remember that parade where they
carried
down the street?
Thinking was to make it kind of be like the High School Musical float, you know, like kind of along the same lines. But I apparently, from what I heard, it didn't work. So, whoopsies.
Bummer. Oh, the fashion show's coming back, right, Ricky?
Yeah, fashion show's coming back.
So. All right, well, so there's the studios. A lot going on there. You really got to make your pick and make it two different nights to see Fantasmic and Star Wars. You get the better experience that way. But get up close for the projections. All right, so... Yeah. Last thing is my favorite. Of course, you know, I think you want to see it sooner rather than later because it might not be here in 2 or 3 years, maybe even a year. Who knows? It's Illuminations, Reflections of Earth over at Epcot. And we saved this one for last. I did, because I think this one is the lowest stress. You know, it's this one is great because you can roll up literally 2 minutes before the show starts and still get a great spot because it's presented in the round. There's really not any projection screen you need to see. Of course, there's projections on the Earth globe, but it rotates. And nobody can really tell what's going on out there anyway. I mean, to be honest, I mean, it's old. I mean, you know, I mean, that was like state of the art back in the day. But it's like, you know, it's like when you, we have a 40-inch flat screen TV in our house that we bought on Black Friday like years and years ago. And when we got that thing, we're like, boom, this thing is huge and it's in HD. And now, like, you walk into other people's houses, they have, like, 70-inch TVs. This thing looks like something that should be in a bedroom now. You know, it's just, like, times change. It's so sad because I used to think the thing was gigantic. Like, oh, my gosh, I can see the whole football field. You know, it's crazy. But, you know, times have changed. So, but I think that, you know, Illumination, solid show, definitely moving. The music, I was doing that Facebook Live and got some advice. You know, one of our listeners said he always stands near a speaker because even more than the fireworks, the music, the score touches him. You know, that's the message of the show, which I totally agree with. So get where you can hear it. Also, somebody said watch the wind direction because you want to stand not downwind because that, you know, the stuff will fall on you. The smoke will cover you up. You won't be able to see the fireworks. So pay attention to the wind direction. Just look at the torches that are around the lagoon. So those are some tips. Pam, any other Illuminations tips? Because they have a, you know, and there's actually a new dessert party, I think, over at the, they're everywhere. They're everywhere over at the Epcot too.
Yeah, there is. And this dessert party includes something that we haven't seen before, which is admission into one of the attractions after the park is closed. So that's something that it has a Frozen theme and you're going to be able to experience Frozen Ever After without a long wait after the park is closed. So that will take place. You'll do the Illuminations dessert party and then you'll go over to the Norway Pavilion and experience Frozen Ever After. So that's a huge plus in my book. That is a dessert party worth experiencing, especially if you couldn't get that coveted Fast Pass. And then you know that your kids are going to be disappointed. No need to disappoint them. So that's an awesome thing. I also want to say that, you know, I think that Illuminations, like you said, Mike, this has been around for a very long time. And there's still something really special about when you get a fantastic spot and can see the globe. Because I think for a lot of folks, I've heard many people say, I don't even think there's anything on that globe. And I think, you know, that you really have to have people, you know, there are people that have seen the show on the globe for like the first time in the last year or two. You know what I mean? It's just been one of those things that people don't always notice. So I think it takes seeing that. There's also, you know, the Illuminations cruises, which are a really cool thing. They get a good position there, usually under the bridge in France. You'll see them docked there, and they have a fantastic view for Illuminations. They're a little pricey, but again, it's a special thing that you can do if you really want a good spot for the globe, or you can stake out your spot early at some of the prime locations, and that is the bridge between France and the UK. There's some good spots in Mexico. There's some great spots in Italy, and I think anywhere where you can get an unobstructed view of kind of the middle of the lagoon, you're going to have a better view of the globe.
Good points. And those, actually, those Illuminations cruises aren't that bad because the boats hold, I believe, 12. So if you could get like five or six couples and split the cost of the cruise, because it's per boat. So if you split it up between like five couples, it's not a bad proposition. I mean, it really does feel cool because you don't just get in the boat and zip straight over to see Illuminations. What happens is they kind of take you around Crescent Lake and, you know, maybe down by the studios and then back, and then you go see the show. I've done it a couple times. Right. I really enjoyed it because Illuminations is one of my favorites. I love it. So, but Ricky, anything else for Illuminations before we get out of here and wish everybody a great weekend?
You know, I think you're right, Mike. I think that really you can see it from anywhere just about. Know that there are a few trees. So if you see a spot that's nobody standing in front of, you know, about 2 minutes to 5 minutes before the show, you may not want to stand there because you may not have the best view. Just know that. Also, they do have, you can... A lot of people like to do dinner at a couple of the restaurants that have views of the lagoon. So those would be Rose and Crown. You've got the Mexico La Cantina or the whatever the cantina,
Hacienda.
Not the
Hacienda.
Counter. Well, you got the counter service you can do too.
That's where I was when I got disappointed. The half marathon was canceled in January. We just had another margarita at the cantina.
There you go. So you can do it either the table service or the counter service there. But you have to get there really early for the counter service. Trust me, I know. And then there's also the one in Morocco as well, too. So you can see the fireworks from there. But do know, again, if you're going to do this, you're going to have to make a reservation well in advance of the showtime, because, you know, a lot of other people have the same idea as you. And if it's something that you have your heart set on, you know, make sure you tell them you'd like a, you know, table by the water, if they can provide it, and that you're willing to wait if you need to. So just know that, too. So there are options out there if you'd like to take them, but you may be waiting for a while.
Good tips. All right, one last question that one of our listeners wanted us to answer when it came to this, because he's heading down for 4th of July. You get one fireworks show to see on the 4th of July. Do you end up at the studios? Do you end up at Magic Kingdom? Or do you go to Epcot to see Illuminations? I say Illuminate. I mean, we're going down on the 3rd, late at night, just so we can be there on the 4th for Illuminations 4th of July. I love it. I've seen it like 4 or 5 times between New Year's and 4th of July. The concussion of those fireworks, like, just pounds your chest and, like, feel like the ground shaking. It's like for 10 seconds, it's incredible. I cannot stop screaming and yelling. It's so incredible. So I say Illuminations 4th of July. Pam, what about you?
I think you gotta try Magic Kingdom's new Happily Ever After. I think it's just, there's a lot of things to like about that, and they're gonna have a really cool 4th of July spin on it. So try that one.
All right, Ricky, where would you go?
Oh, man, that's tough, because they do have some fantastic fireworks at the Magic Kingdom. It's actually a special show on the 4th of July. And I forget what the name of it is, but it's got some very long name. So I just say the Magic Kingdom fireworks on the 4th of July. I think I would say Epcot too, just because, like, I mean, you really do feel it, like, pounding in your chest. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I haven't been there for 4th of July, but I've been there for Epcot's 30th. I've been there for a New Year's Eve now. And there's just something so... Oh, and I've seen the Peace on Earth tag, too. So, I mean, there's just something so incredible about the tag at the end of Illuminations. So, I think I gotta go Epcot.
I just physically don't know. Every time I see it on, like, New Year's Eve or 4th of July, I physically don't know how they get that many fireworks in the sky at one time. It's ridiculous. I still don't know how they do that. It's crazy.
It's insane. So, but it's so good. I mean, there is no wrong choice in this. So you're going to have a great time either way. But yeah, I think if it were me, I'd probably choose the Epcot ones.
All right, well, that's going to do it for today's show. Hopefully, we'll help you plan a better nighttime experience on your next Walt Disney World vacation. Lots to think about, but really, you don't have to overthink it either. You know, you just go see the shows. You're going to have a great time, but put yourself in the best possible situation to have the premium view for nothing extra. You know, if you can, just be smarter than the next guest. That's what this is all about. So thanks for listening to today's show. Don't forget, we're brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. The 2018 packages are out there for Walt Disney World. You want to book all the way through the end of 2018, we are proud to help you out. So just drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free no obligation quote. You can check all the specials out there. You can see the room, the resort guides that have all the room breakdowns. And, you know, if you want to know what activities they sometimes have at that resort, it's right there. There's all kinds of great stuff. But just drop by the Magic for Less and we'll be booking on that 2018 package right away. You know, best time to book is early, because you have the first choice at those quick-to-go accommodations. Plus, the Magic for Less gives you an increased booking bonus until July 20th. So if you get in on the first month, you get even more for booking that Disney vacation. So check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com. We're also brought to you by Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. So when you're looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture, support the folks who support us. Call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise advisors.com/drew.baker. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got an awesome Facebook group, and we want to hear from you this weekend over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And thanks again to everybody who is supporting the show through the Amazon affiliate link. You guys are helping so much. please keep it up. Bookmark it on your computer and use it each and every time you shop online. Just go through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Cost you nothing extra. Get all your Prime benefits. Everything's the same. It just supports the show. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. All right, we're going to turn you loose and let you go for your weekend. And we'll be back again on Monday with another awesome trip report. More listener questions headed your way next Wednesday as well. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome weekend. But whatever you do, stay safe. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.